Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
What David Culley said when Brian Flores asked him to be in the lawsuit, coming up shortly as we go around the NFL. But first, let's hear David Culley talking about culture and the decision to release Zach Cunningham. This is what Culley had to say when he ended his silence yesterday on Outkick 360.
I had to establish the culture that we wanted to establish there. Obviously, I wouldn't have been the head coach there if things were okay. You know, if things needed to change.
Sure.
Were there some guys on that football team that you didn't really reach? Yeah, I had guys on there, but also got rid of those guys.
One of those guys you got rid of was Zach Cunningham.
That's part of it. The point was, I start talking about culture. Zach wasn't doing the things in our culture that we wanted to done. Was he a heck of a football player, and did we miss him? Of course we did. But the big picture was that wasn't going to help us move forward. He's a heck of a football player, one of the best linebackers in the league, and, you know, I was happy for him. And he's a good person also.
There you go. A couple things there. First of all, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring David Culley is not ideal for a good organization, but it's more indicative on what Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien did to get to the point where maybe it made sense in that situation to have David Culley for at least 1 year. The Zach Cunningham thing, he made it seem like it was kind of his decision. Maybe it was an organizational decision. I didn't fault them for doing it. I thought it sucked that it came to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I was actually happy for Zach Cunningham, and I think Zach Cunningham is one of those guys, one of many, who just forced his way out of town. Deshaun Watson did it. Randall Cobb did it. J.J. Watt did it.
Laramie tried to do it.
Maybe.
Then he got paid.
The guy's not playing worth a damn.
But a lot of people don't find this situation appealing, but that was David Culley talking about the Cunningham thing.
The thing that I found interesting in that is, boy, he was really trying to, just by the way he was saying the culture and we're building and all that, he really wanted to make this thing work. He just wasn't suited to do it. By the way, a texter reminded me of that term that I used to use on David Culley. Empty suit was what I used to call him. And that's what he wound up being. But he was just there to bridge this thing over, and he did. And he's got a lot of money because of it.
Speaking of suit, lawsuit. Brian Flores versus the NFL. Here's David Culley talking about his thoughts on the lawsuit and being approached to be a part of it.
What do you think of Brian Flores' lawsuit? What do you think of the two guys who have joined it?
Well, I really have no comment on that other than the fact that I was asked to join it. I didn't feel like it was something I needed to do. I backed Brian 100%. I had a conversation with him, but we didn't go any further than that. I've kind of left it at that.
All right, there you go. I actually have got the audio of what David Culley said to Brian Flores when he called him and asked him to be involved in the lawsuit. I don't know how we do it. I don't know how Figgy does it, but my goodness, we are some sneaky mofos that get you audio that you can't hear anywhere else. This is what David Culley said when Brian Flores, let's just fire up the phone call. I think we actually have the phone call audio as well. This is the phone call, Brian Flores to David Culley.
I'm rich, bitch.
There you go. That's what it was. I'm rich, bitch. Bye.
That was a weird answer, wasn't it? I support him. But no, I don't want to be any part of that.
It's not a weird answer. What do you mean?
Just, I don't know.
So he has to be in a lawsuit
to
support him?
No. I don't think he was asked for no reason.
Well, I mean, I think he's just saying
that's
his situation. My situation's different. Yeah. I don't know what Flores went through in Miami, but in my situation, I don't think that I need to be a part of the lawsuit. I don't think it's that weird.
No, it's not that weird. But he's, when you say you support Brian Flores, you know what he's saying and what he's filing suit over, and then like, I think I got 26 million reasons not to, something like that.
Well, or maybe he didn't feel that he was mistreated by the Texans.
No, absolutely not. He was treated very, very well. I think Flores asked him for a reason, though, and we don't know what that reason would be.
The reason was I wasn't mistreated. You might have been, but I wasn't.
No. Why Flores asked him?
Oh, well,
yeah.
I think they want to get as many people as they can on board.
Yeah.
By the way, they bailed on Hugh Jackson, right? The Hugh Jackson kind of talked his way out of that lawsuit.
Yeah.
He did? Okay, so he's not going to be a part of it. What a shocker. Probably a smart move by the legal representatives of Brian Flores. That full interview, Outkick 360, John McClain was on a little bit later as well. It was actually mentioned in the interview. They mentioned old John McClain a couple of times. Outkick 360. David Coley ends his silence. Shout out to Scout Good Hair, the best hair in town. James Lipfertz has been promoted by Nick Caserio. He is now the assistant director of player personnel and college scouting. Ronnie McGill moves to director of pro scouting, and former Patriot scout DJ Debick is going to be the director of pro scouting. They also hire RJ Goodwin and Nate Leopold. If I'm butchering these names, then
you're good.
It happens as personnel assistants. But Scout Good Hair, James Lipfert, man with the prettiest hair in town, gets promoted.
Nick Caserio, man, he's assembling his squad. He's getting the people he wants in there.
Matt Bazergan left.
Bazergan's gone.
Up comes Scout Good Hair.
Mm-hmm. A lot of.
Wonder what kind of shampoo Scout Good Hair wears.
Probably tries three or four different things.
He's got
some products.
How much you think his shampoo costs? Because he keeps that wave going. Even when he's got the hat, he's got it like slicked back. How much do you think his shampoo costs?
I buy shampoo.
I've started buying more expensive shampoo. You can't go to 99 cent anymore,
God,
man.
No.
When you get to a certain point, you got to have it.
I get like a good shampoo, but when you shop for good shampoo, you realize what shampoo costs. Like $22 I saw a bottle.
You got to get it.
No, I get the $7, $8 one, whatever's there.
See,
$22 for a bottle of shampoo?
H-E-B every Sunday, more Sundays than not, they have 25% off any product.
Mm-hmm.
So I take advantage of that typically.
Yeah.
But got to go more expensive now at this point. You have to. Figgy, do you have a shampoo that you use?
Yeah, I forgot the name of it, but it's kind of pricey.
Go to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What, like 30 a bottle?
Nah, not that much.
Okay.
It's about 15.
15, there you go.
So. All right, so y'all spending more. Of course, you have more hair too. I've got less hair, less expensive shampoo.
Why do people with less hair have to pay the same price for a haircut? Like Jeff Van Gundy. I heard him going on this rant.
Yeah.
I do always feel bad for him.
Because it's the style, man.
But honestly, if you're going to go with the look that Van Gundy has selected to go with, come on.
But you got
to
get it just right over the ears, in the front, in the back.
If I cut Jeff Van Gundy's hair, like if I were a hairstylist, I would say, don't tell people I did that, please.
Who did? Who said it was
Landry? Over? Landry did.
Oh, come on.
Keep that to yourself, sir. Don't be going around telling people that I did this.
Who did your hair, Jeff? Well, that was that Landry Locker.
Yeah, no. Okay, Will. Don't ruin my reputation.
Okay, Will.
Please don't tell people that. Keep that a secret.
It takes a lot of work to look like that.
Does it?
Yeah. Have the angles right.
Is he scared to go bald?
I guess. I've never been a fan of that look, but I guess he pulls it off because I'm used to it. But I don't understand why you have hair just on the side.
If you were JVG, would you go with that look? Would you go completely bald, or would you try to get some of these mini hair plug options?
I'd get the little shave, like just a like very little stubble. You know, so I like that look on some guys.
How about
guys.
The plugs?
Nah, I'm never going to get any plugs.
What about like the new forms of hair restoration? I think, John.
Maybe I'll get a wig.
Why don't we get you a hair restoration endorsement?
I don't want one.
No, but why not? You'd look
because
great.
I am who
you
I am.
You had such a full head. Yeah, you could
I
still
be I used to have an
you.
Afro, dude. I had a giant head
yeah,
of hair.
Yeah, let's get it back.
Yeah.
No,
we have
serious.
An afro?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't we get you a hair restoration deal?
I it's beyond repair.
No, it's not.
I got big.
Those things work.
You hear
miracles.
These ads on this commercial,
yeah, you hear
man.
These ads?
Yeah.
Let's get you some.
I don't care. I don't want it. I am who I am.
I saw someone the other day walking in I was out at my favorite Friday spot where they have half-price apps.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude walked in. I couldn't quit staring at him the whole time. He had that Carlos Boozer paint on hair.
Oh, wow.
This dude walked in with a fresh-ass outfit on his first date, and he had that damn Carlos Boozer painted on hair. See,
no, that's somebody that's trying to keep it. Like, just let it go, man. The just LeBron? Go ball. Yeah, he trying to keep what
LeBron's
he got.
LeBron's done something crazy with his.
No, he actually got the little surgery they be doing out in L.A.
Oh, is that right?
What people say, that the Nick Wright surgery, hair surgery.
Man, Nick, I don't think Nick's done very good with his. It was going in a
He's
good
always
direction.
Had a lot of hair. He just shaved his head.
Yeah, but the hair now, it's not.
He's got that big wave working.
He's wearing like two chains now, too.
He's always worn chains.
Two chains?
I don't know about two. He's kind of a jewelry guy. Yeah.
He's got like the
like
two
the
chains.
Watches and
he's
the chains.
He's got the hair. He's got his hair parted down the middle. He looks like he could be an extra in Wonder Years.
Yes, he does.
Like, he looks like he could be riding bikes with Kevin and Paul down the street.
Mm-hmm.
I might be dating myself, but if you
haven't
watched
a new Wonder Years. I've never seen it.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strange. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the new Wonder Years. I don't know that they had to call it the Wonder Years.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
It's all about remakes.
There's too many remakes. They're not working as much.
By the way, I've been speaking to Nick Wright, and we're going around the NFL at this point, kind of. Him and Draymond Green have like a beef going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green keeps talking about this new media thing, and then he describes it. It's literally nothing new. There's literally stuff to do. He's not fooling me. Like, it's very obvious. First of all, Draymond's going to be a media superstar. What he's doing is, first of all, he's generalizing. Second of all, he's going to start his own thing, and he's going to call it new media. That's all he's going to do. He's going to start his own thing. He's going to call it new media, because all this new media stuff, he's like, we want to talk about basketball. What?
Yeah, we don't talk about basketball.
You haven't been talking about basketball? No, the game itself. All right, there's a lot of options to do that, I can promise you.
That's right.
No, player's perspective. Okay, I see that. Draymond's a star, but this new media thing, it doesn't make sense. There's like a video he tweeted out with him and Stephen A. Smith. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What is this? This is.
I think it goes back to my point that the athletes that go into the media just have this thing about admitting that they're in the media. So they have to put another tag on it. They have to say they, not us. You know, the Jeff Blum thing. I mean, you know, talking about being in the dugout. You've never been in a dugout. Well, your dugout now is a broadcast booth, and it's hard for athletes to admit that.
The other thing is, Draymond's like sitting here talking about like the numbers that he had like on the podcast. It's going to be good. Like I said,
it's going to be great.
He's going to replace Charles Barkley. He's going to be great. But he's talking about, you know, the new media and the bro, you did a podcast during an NBA Finals run, and you talk a lot of crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to have that all the time. Like, of course people are listening to that.
Mm-hmm. And it was but it was saying some very, you know, daring things.
The other thing is, you have like, I subscribe to this podcast. I actually enjoyed this podcast. We might hear a piece of it tomorrow. Bussin' with the Boys, Will Compton. He's like trying to latch on and say new media. People didn't even know you played, bro.
Yeah.
Like, let's not, when Draymond is speaking for him, like, people didn't know you play. You're not in the new media.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing the same thing. I enjoy it, though.
Yeah.
Very much.
The podcast thing is I guess, technically relatively new media. But he's talking about a new genre of
new
media. Relatively.
Relatively.
6 years?
Go back further than that, right?
When did podcasts really start taking off, Figgy? 5-6 years ago, really?
Probably about 10 years.
You think
to be
that
honest.
Long?
Yeah.
Wow. I know we started the podcast.
It's a lot easier to make a podcast now.
Can I pull back the curtain?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to throw Figgy out too, V.
Yeah.
One time you were talking about a podcast, you're like, "It's the future." and you left, and I was like, "What is he talking about the future, dude? Like, this has been yours is banging
now."
No.
I mean, and I shouldn't be saying this on the air. I mean, like, the whole future.
Yeah.
Like not that I didn't know it existed, but I mean, like, everything is going to be, you know, podcast.
For sure.
Yeah, that, and including this show. But
which does have a podcast.
Exactly. And I think eventually, and hopefully not too soon, I guess it doesn't matter. We'll still be doing the show.
Well, it won't matter for you, John.
I'm saying we'll still be doing the show. I am.
I mean, you're wow. John Lopez retiring soon.
Wow.
Well, I don't know what that means. I mean,
dang,
you know,
man. Landry Locker sending me to the glue factory.
You know what I mean.
No, what I meant by that is the future is like, that's all we're going to be doing. I think in the near future.
I don't think local sports radio goes anywhere. I've heard Nick actually talk about that too.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit different, but who knows? We will find out. Will In the Loop exist past this show? Who knows? 713-572-4610. Davis Mills has a couple of supporters that will intrigue you, but is the pressure really on for Davis Mills? Could the Texans be looking in a different direction than we believe? Soon, next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Davis Mills has some truthers. Let's start with David Culley. David Culley believes Davis Mills, said it on Outkick 360, believes he's going to be a playoff-caliber quarterback.
He can be a playoff-caliber quarterback in this league. I felt good coming into the next year knowing that I had Davis Mills coming back. Looking back at the draft class last year, looking at the draft class coming this year, this is how I feel about Davis Mills. If Davis Mills was coming out of the draft this year, he'd be the number one quarterback pick.
All right, there you go. That's David Culley. What about Greg Cosell? Greg Cosell was on in Nashville. This is what Greg Cosell had to say about Davis Mills when he was on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville.
Davis Mills really improved as the year went on, and I think he can be a solid NFL quarterback. At his core, he's a pocket quarterback. He's a very good thrower of the football. He's tall in the pocket. I think he knows what he sees. He's got enough movement that he's not a statue. You know, he lost the knee brace that he wore his last year at Stanford, and people were concerned about that. He's an efficient player who can make all the throws, and I think he's aggressive without being reckless. So I'm looking for him to be a better player this year. And I think their overall talent is a little bit better than people might think.
Part of what he was saying there was that he thinks – he didn't put a number on it, but he thinks the Texans' record is going to be better than they've been getting credit for, largely because of Davis Mills. And then the David Culley thing, I mean, he was just a fan. You know, he was just a fan. That was his quarterback that first came in when he first coached, was a head coach. But it's not bad stuff. I mean, that's all good stuff if you're hoping for the best with Davis Mills, especially from Greg Cosell, who really has pretty good track record evaluating quarterbacks in the draft.
The negative of the Texans winning more games than expected for many is you won't have an opportunity to get a quarterback to replace Davis Mills. You won't have an opportunity to get C.J. Stroud. You won't have an opportunity to get Bryce Young, Will Levis out of Kentucky. Who knows what happens? Jaren Hall out of BYU, Tyler Van Dyke out of Miami. There's a lot of quarterbacks expected to go in the first round. You won't have opportunity to get those guys. ESPN just did their mock draft. Matt Miller has the Texans at 3 in the draft, and he has them taking Jalen Carter out of Georgia. In fact, he doesn't have the first quarterback going until number 5. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the Jets and Jags already have quarterbacks, but he has the Texans going with Jalen Carter, defensive tackle out of Georgia, and giving Davis Mills more time to develop, citing that the Texans aren't in a hurry. They're not close to being AFC South contenders, and that Davis Mills is very cheap and they can build the roster around him more effectively. I do wonder if Davis Mills just has a normal year, let's say normal improvement to where the arrow is clearly pointing up and we see improvement from 2021 to 2022, could the Texans go in that direction and ignore one of these quarterbacks? I could absolutely see that happening. I could see the Texans doing that.
I could see it happening, but I wouldn't be a big fan of it. And the reason is, it's hard to ignore these quarterbacks, this upcoming class. If they show anything like they've shown coming in, Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud in particular, they're just regarded as a much better class than the one we just saw. Obviously, only Kenny Pickett was taken in the first round. It's hard to pass on those guys. I mean, you know, it's when you think you have a quarterback that is going to be not just, okay, he can play in the NFL, or as Crossell was talking about Davis Mills, he's got some qualities. I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league. That's not what gets you where you want to go. Good quarterbacks in this league get you almost more frustration, you know, because we've been in that where you got a good quarterback, but not exactly the dude that's going to carry you. So if you think Bryce Young or Stroud or Levis or whomever is, he's the guy that can be Burrow. He's the guy that can be, it's hard to say Mahomes, but you know, I mean, a guy that like Mahomes that can carry you. Then all of a sudden it's hard to pass on that. You can't ignore
it. It's hard to pass on that, but it's also just as dangerous when you talk about good quarterback. It's dangerous to draft a quarterback early and just kind of hope that guy's going to be the guy.
Sure.
So if they don't love these guys, like you can go down a whole list of guys. I think since 2016 guys drafted in the first round or whatever, most of them are on new team. From 2009 to 2016, every quarterback drafted in the first round was on a new team.
Mm-hmm.
Last year. Do you look at any of these guys and say, this is the guy? Because I like Bryce Young. I like C.J. Stroud. But I could see a situation where C.J. Stroud kind of comes down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a situation where Bryce Young, there's a lot of questions about size and all that type of stuff. If I had the top pick in the draft, if there was just even an ounce of improvement from Davis Mills, given where the Texans are.
Yeah.
Taking Will Anderson. I'm taking the once-in-a-generation defensive end instead of forcing it at the quarterback position.
Well, you said if you have an ounce of doubt, then yeah. And if Davis Mills improves, then wait till you find the guy that you really, really love. And that's going to be a Nick Caserio call. Give him another year, as Cosell just said.
The receivers in this draft, it's not as deep of a receiver draft as last year, although some guys will emerge. But Jackson and Njigba Smith, like let's say that the Texans are drafting at 5 and it's between him and Bryce Young. We've seen the trend in the NFL where wide receivers are – teams don't want to pay wide receivers.
Yeah.
But wide receivers are getting paid, and it makes sense for the contenders to take on these receivers at times, with the exception of Kansas City. Do you go with the receiver? Do you go with the quarterback? It's going to be interesting, but it is interesting that the first mock draft has the Texans passing on a quarterback and going with the defensive lineman out of Georgia. Got to keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Could Davis Mills really be under less pressure than even we believe? Only time will tell. Coming up, we'll talk to Clint Sterner on the show. Hughley, we'll give you an update on the Whoopi, as well as a decision that James Click is going to have to face that is going to be a very difficult one. Talk about that next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Clint Sterner, Ron the Show Hughley coming up at 2. We'll talk to them in 10 minutes. Justin Verlander on the mound for the Astros, as is the case most of the time when he pitches. He's doing his damn thing.
Yeah.
Bottom of the fifth inning right now. Tie a game, scoreless game at 0-0. Justin Verlander, two outs in the fifth. One man on first base, which means if he gets through this inning, Justin Verlander this season will have pitched 94 innings.
He's getting there.
Why is that significant? Because if he gets to 130, then a player option kicks in. His two-year $50 million contract has a stipulation where 130 innings pitched means that he can opt out. If he pitches like he's been pitching and he's in Cy Young contention, then it makes sense for Justin Verlander at the age of 40 next February to opt out. My question for you is, what do the Astros do? And he's officially through five. So
yeah.
Justin Verlander is now 36 innings away. How do the Astros handle this? Yes, it's Justin Verlander, but you're talking about 40 years old, and you're talking about a multi-year deal now.
It's got to be at least two.
And you're talking about a market where there's going to be a lot of teams. Like, let's say the Yankees come up short. There's going to be teams that come up short. Let's say Detroit decides they finally want to pay some teams or pay some guys and put some money together and bring Justin Verlander back home. What's the market going to be, and what would your line in the sand be if you're Jim Crane?
I don't think you go past 2 years. And we kind of answered this question yesterday. You know, to be honest, we did a little exercise that I think gives us the answer to this question. You know, Fromber, over the next 5 years, I believe, was drafted ahead of Verlander over the next 5 years, wasn't he?
Oh, in our next 5 years stock, yes.
That's your answer.
Yeah.
That's your answer right there. We want Verlander. You can't have him for more than 2 years. If he's getting more than that, congratulations, and thank you for your service.
Here's the thing, though. Max Scherzer's 37. Now, there's two sides to this, because Max Scherzer got a three-year deal this year before the season with the Mets. Right now, his arm's kind of jacked up a little bit, so it's not looking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But he got $43 million a year for 3 years.
Yeah.
Gerrit Cole makes $36 million. Steven Strasburg makes $35 million. Is Justin Verlander going to, at the very least, ask to be in the $40 million range, $35 million range, because he is pitching the way that he's pitching right now?
Yes, And yes.
Okay. So you would give him. So if you're Jim Crane, you would give him 2 years, 80.
I would try to get lower than that. Keep in mind, didn't Greinke just sign a 1 year deal with Kansas City?
Yeah, but Greinke's not.
No, I know.
Elite anymore.
I know, but he was dang good. But
he wasn't that good last year. He's pretty bad.
He was
bad.
What was his numbers?
He wasn't even in the rotation. Remember?
He ended up not being.
Yeah, he ended up in the bullpen.
But I would say I wouldn't go that high. You congratulate him, and someone will. That's what I'm saying. If he gets it, you congratulate him and say thank you very much. But if there's one place where you would think you could maybe withstand losing a Verlander, it's in the pitching staff. I mean, losing a player like that, it's in the pitching staff right now.
You do have a lot of young guys, but you don't have that.
Breaking news, Forrest Whitley might actually be mentioned on this show, as he just was. I think he went 3 yesterday. No hits or certainly no runs. I think 1 hit.
Video or it didn't happen.
Forrest Whitley is coming back.
Come on.
Finally.
Don't say coming back. Coming.
Well, coming.
He never came.
Well, he was close. Then he went to the major league camp a couple times.
He never came. But he ain't coming back to anything. He's coming.
Fromber, Urquidy. You've got that Hunter Brown.
Javier.
You got maybe Forrest Whitley. I mean, you could make. I wouldn't.
That's not Verlander, though.
It's not Verlander. No, there's no question about that.
But here's the other thing. You have Altuve for 2 years past this year. You have Bregman for 2 years past this year. I think Tuck's got.
You got to pay Tuck.
2 more years of arbitration. So do you look at it as that 2-year window where Altuve and Bregman are going to be under contract? Because I think Altuve remains. They might have to move on from Bregman. We say might. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, and look, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But I'm just saying, like, when you look at it that way, I guess it goes back to your 2-year window. My thing is, though, if I'm the Yankees or if I'm another team and I'm close, if I'm the Tigers and I want to throw money, what's stopping them from giving him 3 years, $120 million?
Nothing.
And what makes you think Justin Verlander would say, you offer me 3 years, I'm going to go ahead and take the 2 years with the Astros.
Right, no, nothing.
Doesn't make sense.
And people talk about how close he is with with this team. And
I don't understand
Dusty
that.
And
Jim
all that.
Crane.
And I mean, Jim Crane, not Dusty. And I'm like, cool. You know? that's a whole different ballgame than the real world of business, and he's going to get it.
What a smart contract he worked out, by the way. Because
mm-hmm.
the Astros they've been kind of on the other end of that if you look at the way that they lay out contracts. And it's intriguing the way that they do this, because a couple of examples stick out. You had Yuli get the 2-year $14 million deal, and it was a team option. So the team option, after he led the league in hitting, it was a no-brainer. So they picked up the next year, and he's a little bit hotter right now than he's been. But you picked up the team option. And then Presley, there was like innings where the option automatically got picked up last year.
Yeah.
So there's always like some creative stuff, but this was a good job by Verlander of getting this 2 years, 50 at worst. And then 1 year, 25, and then hit the market at 40. There's always going to be the example, though. I was talking to some guys yesterday at the dog park about Justin Verlander. And, you know, you always talk about, well, he's 40. Well, Nolan Ryan pitched till he was 46.
The reason you remember Nolan Ryan because he pitched is because he was the exception. You know?
Yeah.
And that, so you can use that just like Tom Brady, sixth rounder. Right. Why do you know that so quickly? Because he's an absolute exception to the rule.
You think Fromber ends up being like an ace? Like, do you feel comfortable that that's the direction we're heading right now? I mean, he's an all-star caliber pitcher right
13
now.
13 quality starts in a row?
Yeah, he's 5-1 on the road. For some reason, he really loves pitching on the road.
Well, he's got home and road. He's been getting it done.
He's been good. I mean, yeah. He's 8-3 overall, but he's 5-1 on the road with a 1.68 ERA.
Yeah.
He's been an absolute monster. 8 more scoreless yesterday against the Mets. Are we heading in the direction of Fromber being an ace?
Absolutely.
I mean, I agree, and I think part of what makes an ace is being battle-tested, and the kid's been as battle-tested as you could possibly be this early in your career.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are heading in that direction. If this were the postseason, we talk about decisions that Dusty Baker would have to make. You just start Fromber number 2 and not overthink it, or do you try to get him on the road? Do you try to start him 3? You get him on the road.
You know, that's not a bad idea, but no, you can't do that. He's your second-best pitcher. He just goes game 2 every time. He's number two in the rotation. He's an all-star. I mean, it's a crime to keep him off the all-star team. Absolute crime. So think about what he's just done. You know how hard it is to get 13? In this era, 13 quality starts in a row? At least six innings? That's big time, man. And especially when, look at the teams they've been facing lately.
I mean, he is just a bulldog. I just wonder, like, maybe I'm just kind of a prisoner of the moment of last year. I do wonder, like, what the hell went on last year where him and Cha-Cha Garcia were they looked so great in certain starts, and then they just looked completely lost. Like, there was absolutely no middle ground. Like, there were times where you could look at Framber Valdez in the first inning of a couple of the playoff starts and playoff appearances that he made last year, and you could just tell, man, something's wrong with this guy. Like, he's in his head. And then there were other times where you would look into the guy's eyes and you would say, man, this guy ain't
bulldog, like you said.
Win.
Yeah.
One of the best starts in a while. But, yeah, I'm with you. The Verlander decision is going to be very interesting. The market's going to be interesting. What he wants to do is going to be interesting. I think how they end the season will be interesting. And it won't be the only decision they make, because I think regardless of what happens, I think this is the last year Dusty Baker manages the Astros. Either rides off into the sunset or they move in a different direction and give it to someone, maybe someone that they've already got kind of waiting in the wings there.
Yeah, I could see that happening. Hell, he just may want to retire, you know. It's been a hell of a run, and maybe he'll get a World Series, but even if he doesn't, he just may want to call it a career. He already did that once and came back. I could see that happening, absolutely. The Astros right now in just such a good space, good place with how they're playing. This was such a critical run. I mean, they're proven – They absolutely own New York. They're proving that all these doubts that we had about they haven't played a lot of teams with over 500 records. I was looking this up this morning, and I'm kind of putting it in my back pocket for tomorrow, but I'm going to bring it up right now. I think we're comparing this Astros team with the wrong Astros teams.
Well, I think it's the worst team that the Astros have had the last 4 years.
Except it's not. Let me explain that. It's the least talented team in the last 4 years.
Well, I mean, we're talking about some good ball clubs too.
Right.
We got to keep that in mind.
But they're playing as good as they ever have outside of some stretches in 2019. And
they just don't hit as well.
They don't. But, okay, this is way back machine stuff. But they remind me of the 1986 Astros.
Come on.
They do. Like, they just... mesh.
Come on.
They just what's so funny about that? No, they just, it's not about the most talent. They got that stud, Mike Scott, Justin Verlander. They got another really good bulldog pitcher, Nolan and Framber. Then they got parts that are just kind of you know, over some not maybe putting up the big numbers, but the big moments. They've got the big time hitters, you know, Kevin Bass and Glenn Davis, the two home run hitters. A team that is kind of like bond, you know, really, really put together more as a team than an assortment of talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think this team, this Astros team, is a team.
It's an emotional team you're mentioning sir.
It really is. So maybe I don't know about show. Show and Clint are joining us. Clint might agree with me on this. I think we've been comparing this Astros team with the wrong Astros teams. We keep comparing them to 2017, to 2019. To 2018, and I compare them to 1986.
Lord.
They're not the most talented team, but they got two studs that can hit the long ball, just like Glenn Davis and Kevin Bass. They got two stud pitchers, and they got a bunch of character, you know, kind of role-playing, you know, players in the infield, and then a bunch of guys just playing out of their skin, and they have bonded the city with just the way they play, not so much the talent they have.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We've rolled through the Mike Scott years.
That was the good old days. I was an Astro buddy on the turf, John.
Is that right?
On the turf. On that turf where you can't even hardly run barefooted or it gives you blisters. That old school turf. Yeah, man. I mean, those were the good old days.
All I'm saying, show, is that we keep thinking, well, this isn't the most talented team like 17. It's not talented like 19. Well, they're playing damn good baseball, and their record is just as good as those teams.
They're pitching their ass off.
Their record is just as good as their team, and that was a pitching team. 86 was a pitching team. Yeah, bullpen, all that stuff.
You know, coming into it, we had a lot of conversations. Where are they going to make this up at? Where are they going to make this up? And when you lose Springer and you lose Correa 2 years in a row and you really don't replace him, you know, with comparable pieces, and then – you know, with the pitching, the way they went about
Shots
it.
Shots fired at Jeremy Pena. Goodness.
I'm just saying, before the season started, before the season started, you're like, how are you going to make this up? And Jeremy Pena has helped, and he's been a lot better. But the way they've made it up is, like, this is one of the best rotations in baseball, if not the best rotation in baseball, and I'm talking to the back end part of it.
Bullpen
and everything, too. But Verlander is a way they've made up for it, where I didn't expect at 39 coming off of Tommy John surgery that he would be here. Framber is, what is he working on, 12 straight?
13, isn't it?
12 or 13 straight like quality starts, right? And Christian Javier is nasty. This pitching staff is where they've made it up, and that has, to me, been the biggest surprise all the way through.
35 more innings for Verlander till you can pick that player option becomes his. He's at 95 innings now. After 130, Clint, he's got a player option. Spoiler alert: opt out.
It's all his, right? And he's gonna get there. Hell, I mean, he is. I can't remember what. I guess it was him talking about, or the organization talking about how, you know, you really won't know about the return of Verlander until he gets to that. I think it was 130. Was that the number?
That's the number when the option can be picked up.
The number I'm thinking about was 160 a number for them in terms of, he said, when he gets up there late in the season.
Oh, gotcha.
And he's got that wear and tear of a full season on his arm. That's when you'll know exactly if the velocity's still there, the movement's still there. Can he still, you know, get up in the pitch count? Is the arm strength there? But the point being is, that's when I realized, like, damn, we ain't even the All-Star break, and this guy's already, he's already knocked down 80, and now would you say he's at 90-something?
Mm-hmm. He's at 95 innings now.
I mean, we ain't even the All-Star break yet. So, yeah, the other thing, back to your point, y'all's point about this team, I mean, Jeff Luhnow he was better than we even thought, right?
Best GM in the history of this city.
Yeah.
People thought that, right, when he was forced out of town.
Yeah, he was definitely.
But as we sit here at this point in time right now, it's still, I mean, the Jeremy Peñas, all the young pitchers. I mean, it's just everybody that they bring up seems to be a guy that been in the system and is contributing in a major, major way.
Who is the click guy?
Well, on this team, it's got to be just minor leaguers right now, right?
Like Maton, I don't know. Like
anybody that he acquired,
I guess he trusted Jake Myers.
You can say Verlander. He kept him in town.
He re-signed Verlander, but
offered him more than the Yankees.
He gave Yuli a 2-year deal after 2020. Well, I mean, you got.
He stole Alvarez. He somehow stole
Alvarez is the best move.
I think he had Alvarez just tied up in a warehouse somewhere.
But all of those players were here.
I get what you're saying.
Like, I'm just trying to think of Phil Maton, the relievers.
Yeah.
That's it.
The crazy thing to me about Luhnow is, a lot of times you talk about a general manager and you're like, oh, he did this well and he did that well. And, you know, he does this very well. He's very good at developing players. He's very good at drafting. Dude, they got, like, Framber Valdez for, like, $20,000. Mm-hmm. They traded for Justin Verlander. They drafted Alex Bregman. They signed Michael Brantley. They
got their best pitchers.
They brought in Yuli Gurriel
from Latin America.
They brought in Yuli Gurriel from freaking Cuba.
That's what I'm saying. Their Latin American scouting is incredible.
Every way that you can do something good. They were patient with Kyle Tucker. Remember Kyle Tucker? A lot of people wanted him traded. They were patient with Kyle Tucker. Like, every way in which you can measure like success of a GM, Jeff Luhnow did. And you can say it was his staff or whatever. He was the overseer. Jeff Luhnow. We're still enjoying the greatness of Jeff Luhnow.
That's the thing, Locke, is like, as close as you follow these teams and have followed these teams forever, like, did you think that we'd still be sitting here today and the Peñas would be coming up? And obviously nobody knew he was going to be as good or better than Carlos Correa in several facets of the game. But, I mean, did anybody think that it was going to last this long?
Not just the success, but the
constant feeding of voids in the roster.
You're lying if you thought that this team was going to be this coming into this year. With Verlander and McCullers and who knows about Peña, and you know these guys are gone and Correa's gone. You're a liar if you think, oh yeah, they're going to be the best team in baseball.
We got a lot of liars out there.
Think about all the questions that they've answered.
Yeah.
What do y'all got coming up, fellas?
A lot here. Mike Florio, he's going to join us to get the latest here as day two of the Deshaun Watson hearings are going.
What time?
3:35. He'll jump on with us. A lot of things being thrown out there with the league and what they'll accept from Sue L. Robinson. So we'll get into a lot with him. And I'm still trying to convince myself even more about my Jonathan Greenard bet. So we're gonna try to work through.
He's gonna be sitting at 5 going into week 16, and you're like, there's still a chance.
Come on, man. Why you put that out there, man? I supported you about your stolen wallet. Now you gonna put me
out saying, just as an example.
You might need to be like Deshaun and find a settlement for that.
I don't want to. $50 like
instead
that.
Of a hundo.
No, I'm good. I'm good. We feel good.
All right. Are you sure?
Apparently not. He's trying to figure it out.
Thanks to Stanford Route for hopping on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline. Thanks to Baseball Spo Adam Spillane for coming by during his weekly visit. Thanks to the Loopholes for all your phone calls. My goodness, you guys have been something.
Most of you.
This week. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Brandon Scott tomorrow. Astros versus Yankees. We'll see you at 10 a.m., but in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.